Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
The need for an international binding treaty on transnational corporations and human rights. A side event titled Corporate Accountability Precedents from the World Health Organization Framework Convention on Tobacco Control and its application to the binding treaty on transnational corporations and human rights was held on Monday at the Palais des Nations UN headquarters in Geneva. The activity was organized by Corporate Accountability International and Friends of the Earth International. While official negotiations were starting at the Palais des Nations towards a binding treaty on transnational corporations and human rights, the side event organizers explained why it is important to protect such international negotiations and the new treaty from corporate political interference. In this context, the chair of CESTA, Friends of the Earth El Salvador, Ricardo Navarro, made reference to the legal case of tobacco company Philip Morris International against Uruguay before the International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes, ICSID. Meanwhile, Executive Director at Environmental Rights Action, Friends of the Earth Nigeria, Godwin Ojo, said that national laws are simply not enough to hold TNCs accountable for their human rights violations. This is why an international binding treaty on the issue is necessary, he said. Ojo made reference to the case of Shell in Nigeria. Let's now listen to the two activists.
I'm going to talk about the problems that Uruguay had because they were trying to follow international law. As you know, as Pascal was saying, the FCTC, Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, was adopted in 2005. And I am reminding here some of the demands, you know, and remember that this is international law. It says adopt tax and price measures to reduce tobacco consumption. This is something that every country should do. Ban tobacco advertising, promotion, and sponsorship. Create smoke-free work and public spaces. Put prominent health warnings on tobacco packages and combat illicit trade in tobacco products. Now, here we have it's not 3.5, it's 5.3. It was too late at night when I was writing this. But anyway, the idea, so you can read it there, is to keep corporations out of the convention. I was taking part in these discussions of the FCTC long time ago, and I remember once we got somebody from Ukraine, I think it was, that they brought somebody from the tobacco industry. So the idea is that all international treaties should keep all the interested parties, particularly like these corporations that they want to benefit at the expense of people. Now, what was the problem? Remember, Uruguay is following international law. So they enacted tobacco packaging rules in 2008. So Philip Morris International, you know, the biggest of the four tobacco companies, in 2010 argued that such rules represented a regulatory expropriation of its intellectual property rights protected under a Swiss-Uruguay bilateral investment treaty signed in 1991. They should have presented the case to local courts of Uruguay or FCTC, but Philip Morris demanded a compensation of $2 billion in a World Bank Control Arbitration Panel of the International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes. And they also wanted all the withdrawal of those two pieces of tobacco packaging legislation. What was the cost for Uruguay? Philip Morris' annual income almost doubles Uruguay's GDP, you know, which is $45 billion. And they have a population of 3.5 million. Now, Uruguay is a very small market for Philip Morris products. Nevertheless, Uruguay spent almost $785 million between 2004 and 2009 in public health care costs associated to tobacco-related diseases. Its health care budget raised from $180 million in 2005 to $100 million in 2012. What was the result? As a result of the tobacco control legislation, tobacco consumption by the population between 25 and 64 years of age fell from 36% in 2006 to 29% in 2011. You know, we have witnessed that our Uruguayan friends from Friends of Theirs International, they don't smoke anymore, which is a good thing. The decline was sharper in women, going from 34 to 22% in the same period. In July 2016, the tribunal, you know, this World Bank tribunal, with 2 out of 3 votes, ruled that Uruguay was right and should not pay. But can you imagine 2 out of 3? So that means one of them thought that Philip Morris had right. How about if 2 had thought? I mean, it would be, you know, the totally different thing. In summary, for protecting the human right to health, Uruguay was threatened to pay $2 billion to Philip Morris. Can you believe this? You know, they are trying to follow international law, protecting the health of the people, and they were threatened to pay $2 billion. Any other health measure could be deemed illegal by an arbitration panel mandated to judge according to the rules of a bilateral investment protection treaty, not according to the domestic laws of Uruguay or a multilateral public health treaty such as the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. Philip Morris was challenging the duty of the Uruguayan government to protect the human right to health of the population, incurring in a violation of human right to health. So, that is why we are here trying to have an international treaty that will put all the human rights before, above all the economic interests of the transnational corporations. And we believe that all these transnational corporations should be dismantled.
Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Thank you. I want to start by saying that national laws, at least from Nigeria, Africa, are grossly inadequate to hold corporations accountable, especially transnational corporations, whether it is Shell or tobacco companies. National laws are simply not able to hold corporations accountable. In the case of Shell specifically, Shell is operating behind military shields. As a matter of fact, with massive corporate impunity, they interfere with the environmental policies in Nigeria in many ways. Take, for example, we have a petroleum industry bill. This is a progressive bill that is out to promote environmental protection, that is out to ensure that the country gets more resources from the oil revenue. This petroleum industry bill has been initiated and is currently before the National Assembly. This bill has spent more than 10 years and is still at these beginning stages. In one of the presentations of the oil companies, Shell led a consensus presentation before the National Assembly in Nigeria to say that the petroleum industry bill should not be passed, and if it is passed, as being proposed by civil society and government, then the oil company will become unviable. That was a subtle threat, and the policymakers understood that they mean that they would reduce the revenue of the country and the issue threat of packing and leaving the country. So in those ways, they have managed to muzzle the policy arena in Nigeria. We're not just looking at policy formulation here. We're looking also at their behavior, attitude towards the court case, the court in Nigeria, the judicial system. It will interest you to know that access to justice is very poor in African countries, not least in Nigeria. And we have this case where the communities came together and they took Chevron took Shell to court. Shell has denounced such attempt to take them to court. But in one particular instance, the Iwereka community, along with civil society groups in Nigeria, led by Environmental Rights Action, and of course some international civil society groups, we took Shell to court in Nigeria on gas flaring. Since 1956, when oil extraction started in Nigeria, gas flaring continues unabated. So oil is extracted and the gas is just simply ignited. And we went to court to say that this is a violation of people's rights, it's a violation of the environment. The court sitting in Benin City, Federal High Court, ruled against Shell that gas flaring is illegal and a fundamental violation of people's rights. Therefore, those over 1,000 gas stacks dotting the landscape in the Niger Delta should be extinguished. Shell was happy to file an appeal. Actually, not an appeal. They filed an intention to appeal. So this is a judgment that was delivered since 2003, and that judgment is not honored. Shell disregarded the court order, and as we speak, gas flaring continues unabated. There are so many instances where the government have tried to bring Shell to order, but in each case, Shell does not respect the rights of the people or the laws in Nigeria and the countries where they operate. Shell practices environmental racism because the standards, the rules, the regulations they operate with in Europe, in Britain, in America, is quite different from the ones they operate with in Nigeria. So it is very clear that if we are to make progress, lessons from the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control is of high relevance here to kick polluters, kick Shell, kick oil companies out of the policy arena. I think it's very essential to understand the need for a global mechanism to bring transnational corporations to account. Clearly, laws in Nigeria, laws in Africa, despite the regional laws, despite the African Charter, Shell continue to escape from the laws. So we think that a global mechanism in the form of a global treaty, the World Environment Court, will be the only one that will bring Shell to account for its human rights violations. Thank you.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by FOI.